Recording.
I have to be adults now.
Damn.
That was your first time.
Hello and welcome to Fishy Radio. I'm Alex and I'm new to Southwest Florida and saltwater fishing. As always, joining me are three lovely ladies who love and live to fish. Dee, a commercial shrimper and recreational fisher. Jeannie, a great inshore fisherman who is always out on her boat. And Heather, who is a recreational fisherman who loves fighting fish of all shapes and sizes. Dee was not here last week, and for good reason. She was out fishing. Fishing for what most people will only dream of catching. Dee, please tell us everything.
All right, so for our 20th anniversary, my husband booked the most awesome fishing charter in the world with the infamous Dave Marciano from Wicked Tuna. And we went out there and we caught a 450-pound bluefin tuna. It's 92 inches long. It took us nearly 2.5 hours, I'd say, to get it to the boat. That was only after about 4 times of getting it to the boat until it screamed off about 300 or 400 yards of line numerous times. So, yeah, we caught it was epic. I mean, it ranks in the top 3-4 maybe things of my life, I'd say.
You also did some striper fishing, is that right?
Oh, yep. Yes, we had some friends up there, so we went up there for 7 days, and out of the 7 days, we fished 5 of those days. 4 days that we fished regularly, caught my first striper on an umbrella rig, which I've never done that before, and we caught black sea bass, tons of them, which was probably cooler than the striper, I'd say.
Now catching them, is that anything like any of the fish we have here?
Well, yes, actually, the black sea bass is, I think, similar to a snapper, maybe, a mangrove snapper.
Okay.
You fish them the same way. They taste phenomenal. I mean, if I could go there and just fish black sea bass, I would do it in a heartbeat. Every day, every minute of the day. I get that's probably my favorite.
So this was, you were fishing with the Wicked Tuna. Wicked Tuna guys, right?
Yep, the Wicked Tuna, the guy, Dave Marciano, on the show Wicked Tuna, on the Falcon. Yeah, we went out there and fished with him, and
what was your
bait?
We used mackerel and herring, live mackerel, live herring. At the beginning of the day, we went out, started the trip just catching fish or catching bait, which took quite a long time. When the sun came up, it got really crazy.
So, like, set the scene for us. Like, what the boat, the... So, you went out at 2:30 in the morning, y'all left for?
Yep, we left the dock at 2:30 in the morning, which was real early for vacation. But it was well worth it. We got a couple hours of sleep.
And how fast did this boat go?
It planed out at about 40, 45 miles an hour.
Not terrible. And how far did you?
We went out... I think he said it was like within 100 miles. It was at Stellwagen Bank.
Okay.
What they call the middle ground.
So you, what, an hour? An hour
about
out there?
To get out there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, about an hour, I'd say. A little over an hour.
Okay. So then you get out there, and what's going? So it's still pitch black.
Yep.
You just got the boat lights.
Still pitch black. That's another thing. I almost got seasick. Now, here I am, big time fisherman, you know. get out there, and I almost got seasick. Like, it was that bad.
Was it because you couldn't see the horizon?
Maybe. It was dark out. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, they take 6-8-footers is normal to them. You know, that's regular, everyday to them. Which 6-8-footers to around here is like, you stay at the house. But, yeah, I think it was a 52-foot topaz, they call it.
Wow.
I guess the boat was, he said it was made in Key West, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we got out there pretty fast.
It didn't look that big in the pictures.
It doesn't. Mm-mm. It's a big boat. It's about 3/4 of its wheelhouse. It's pretty small deck, but very comfy in the inside. Living quarters, as they say.
So you get out there. The captain takes a nap?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we caught all the bait. We put two lines out. The captain put the lines out because, you know, with the leader, it's very touchy. You don't want to chafe it or anything. So he's pretty, you know, he does that, takes care of that. So he puts the fish out, and we were catching bait nonstop. We were jigging the bottom for mackerel and herring. And everything got calm, and he's like, all right, y'all, you good? And I was like, yeah, we're good. He's like, all right, I'm going to go take a nap. He said he just got back from Australia. It was his second day back to work. He went fishing in Australia.
So. Now, so that was your captain, was his son is a captain as well, right?
Yes, his son captains the Hard Merchandise. His name is Joe, which he is an awesome guy. And I think next year we want to go with him.
Yeah. And he was out there too, though.
Yeah, he was out there. So. He had been chartering tuna charters while his dad was on vacation. And he had been hooking up almost every day. Or, he'd hook up and lose a fish. But he put us right on the fish. And we went out there on his numbers. And his he wasn't too happy with us when we landed the fish. And they had hooked up earlier in the day and spit the hook. So he was not happy. He hooked up on his numbers. But
so, again, tell us about bringing the fish in. You said this took 2 hours to bring this fish in?
Yeah, it took about 2.5 hours to get the fish in.
So what, you just have like a belt or something that you put the rod in?
It just stays right in the rod holder on the stern of the boat. And then once you hook up, the captain, they got controls on the stern. So he comes right, he's right next to you, you know, backing down on it. He tells you, all right, we're going to gain some line. So he backs down on it. You reel your butt off. And then once you have to work the fish. You have to let them run and pull them back and try to wear them out. And it happened within the 2.5 hours, I'd say 5 or 6 times. We were like, yeah, we're going to get straight up and down off the stern. And you could see the swivel for the leader. But the leader's like almost 10 foot long. So you still got a little bit of ways, you know. And I'd say, oh, there he is. We're going to land him. And he's like, no, we ain't. We got a long way to go. And then all of a sudden he'd get up to the stern. And he would I guess the boat would spook him or something. He would just rip off 300 yards in line like in a blink of an eye. It was ridiculous. I mean, so like you're fighting them and it wears your butt out. Just
so
slap out.
What do you do? Just do reeling.
Yeah, you just keep reeling. You have to use your, you're reeling with your right hand. You have to use your left hand to actually pull down on the line as you're reeling because you can't just reel. The reel's not strong enough to just straight up reel.
Break the, okay.
You need help. You know what I mean? Because you're fighting them and you're trying to wear them down a little bit.
That's quite the process.
It's a process.
You're using both hands, both arms, reeling this thing in.
And when you get to the point where you just cannot do it anymore, which I did numerous times, I was like, you can't be a quitter. You know, you have to keep doing it. Keep going. But then it gets to the point where you just cannot do it no more. So you have to tap out and let somebody else go at it. And then there was 4 of us on the boat. And I say we all fought it probably 4 or 5 times, chances at it, before we actually landed it to the boat.
Wow. So once you got it to the boat, I saw you got pictures of it. How did you get, what happened once it came to
the
boat?
When we hooked up, the captain called his buyer to see if we were going to be able to market the fish. And because of the holiday weekend, they were pretty much jammed up on the tuna fish. So they weren't buying the fish. So we had to get it to the boat without the harpoon, because usually you harpoon it and you tail rope it and you drag it behind the boat and it's a lot easier. Well, when you're not killing the fish, you're just releasing them. It's a lot harder because you have to get them directly up to the boat. He has to come.
Something about you tried to reach over and grab the fish.
Yeah. So he said, and the whole way the captain's telling us every move we're gonna make. You know, he's calm, cool, calm, and collective, and we're just like, ah, you know, like going crazy. And he said, now when we get it to the boat, I'm going to gaff in the lip, and we'll take some pictures with it, and we'll just let them go. All right, sounds easy to me. So we finally, after 2.5 hours, get them to the boat, and now we can see the fish. Now it's like even. I mean, it's just like
it got real.
Man, it was.
Yeah.
And then he gaffed it in the lip, and he's like, "All right, you guys come over here and take some pictures." And I mean, it was everything he could do, and his being to hold it, the gaff, to keep him next to the boat.
And he was a huge conservationist, so he was like the fish's health was of his utmost concern at this point. So he's trying to be as nice as he can while holding it.
Yeah, because one of the specific instructions were to his mate. He said, "Listen, we have to gaff him in the lip. We can't gaff him in the side. You know, we have to really make sure we got to release him just as well as we caught
healthy.
Him.
Healthy.
How big? How big was it?
It's 92 inches long, and it was just like you would see on the show. It was just it was step for step, just like that. And so anyway, he got to the boat and he gaffed it, and he had this carbon fiber gaff, which was pretty thick gaff. And when he got it to the boat, he lifted up on the fish, and when he did, the gaff broke against the side of the boat. And we had already cut the leader, so the only thing that was holding that fish to the boat was the gaff. When the gaff broke, you know, he's like, "All right, come down here and take pictures." So I was like, "Woo," you know, I was getting down there by the fish taking pictures, and the gaff broke. So I was like, just out of natural reaction, I grabbed up, reached down to grab the gaff, and he said, "No, no, no, no," and I was like, and he reached down and grabbed me. He goes, "This fish will yoink you overboard in a matter of seconds." You know what I mean? He was out of breath. It was literally everything he could do. And there was a gaff next to me, so I handed him another gaff. This is the funny part. If you ever watched that show, you know that Dave Marciano is like the salty, you know, he's all about the conservation. He's about his family. He's not about his looks. He's not about his boat being, you know, the best looking boat in the fleet. He's not about none of that. And he was holding the gaff. And I mean, he was giving it the business. Well, his pants started to fall down. He's like, "All right, guys, next one, come up here and get a picture. And somebody please pull my pants up. Don't take no pictures with my pants down below." Literally, his pants were below his butt, you know. And he's like, "Somebody help me here," you know. So that was kind of funny. So somebody reached over and helped him pull his pants up while he
I hope he's not listening to this.
Yeah.
I kind of hope he is.
Yeah. So anyway, we all took pictures with the fish and then let him go. He just swam back down. It like never,
nothing ever happened.
The fish didn't seem taxed or anything like that. He was healthy and just let him go, and he was gone just like that.
So you said something about kite fishing. Y'all were kite fishing?
Yeah, in the period of the day, we had put two lines out, but we were waiting for the slack tide because he said when the slack tide comes, that's when we're going to start seeing marks. And that was probably halfway through the 12-hour charter, you know. So you're already halfway through the charter before that tide slacks out.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure enough, we waited and we waited. And he said, "You know what, I'm going to check the lines, make sure that we're good." Because they had been out there for 4 to 5 hours. "And I'm going to check them." So he brings in, again, it's very important that you keep that leader unchafed or unmessed with, because the little bit of mark or nick will cut you off. So he's very
particular.
Yes, when he was bringing in the leader, he was getting the nasty jelly off of the you know, off the leader and stuff. And he brought one in, and it still had a live mackerel on there, swimming good. So he just kind of took the pole and moved it around to the other side of the boat while he checked the other one. So he's checking the other one, brought it up. He said, "We got squidded out." When he brought up this mackerel, and it literally looked like it was just bones. Like, you could see the ribs. You could see the squid literally ate, like, picked it apart.
Wow.
So he's like, "You know what? We're going to try kite fishing." I'm like, "Oh, kite fishing? What the?" All right. So they get out this big old kite, and they put 3 leaders on the main line of the fishing pole. And what it does is, it imitates, like, a bait ball. Because you fish at the top of the water, and these fish just kind of barely under the water, you know.
Okay.
Because the other one got, the squid ate it. So
those leaders are hanging off the kite.
Yes. So
okay.
Once you get the kite, it's kite way out there. I don't even know how many yards. It was way out there. And then you hook your main line to a hook that's on the kite line. And it also gets your bait way away from the boat because you're bottom fishing for tuna, you know. But this gets it way out there, and then it just dangles the fish on the water. It creates a frenzy for the, you know, top water. And he said, if it hits that, you get ready because it's going to be something you ain't never seen before. If it hits, so it'd be like a snook popping on the top of the water, but it's a 450-pound tuna. You know what I mean? So it was awesome. So it took about 40, 45 minutes for all that to happen. And he said, all right, well, let's see what happens, you know. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go get me 20 minutes of sleep. I was like, all right, you know, cool. And literally it wasn't even 15 minutes later. The pole that we had moved around the boat that was still on the bottom started going off. It just went crazy. And of course, even he gave us a speech before he went to the bed. He said, listen, when we hook up, it's going to be total chaos. We are going to have to get this kite in. We're going to have to do a lot of things that are going to have to be meticulous and structure. You know, it can't be mad chaos. So what I want you guys to do when we hook up, I want you to just calm, you know, try to calmly just stay out of the way, and me and his mate would, you know, get everything under control, get all the lines in, and then we could fight the fish. No problem. That thing went off, and I could not stay calm. Everybody was going, okay, I'm like, we're on, you know. It's just mad crazy. So we were all trying to get out of their way and stuff, and he said, D, bring that kite in. Well, they had the kite on like a winch. It's a little winch that they hook into the handle of the reel. So, and it's plugged into it. It's in a plug, so it's electric. So you just push the button, and it goes, and it brings in this kite, you know. So here I am. I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. I just bring it, you know, push the button. Like, in the meantime, that tuna is going. It's still screaming. And he goes, we got a screamer. We got a screamer. Like that. It was just peeling offline. I was ready for that thing to catch on fire. It was like that bad.
Oh, wow.
So we got them all in, of course, and then that's when we fought the fish. We got to meet his son, of course. Joe had been fishing charters while his dad was on vacation. He had hooked up and caught two or three in 4 or 5 days, and he pretty much put us on the fish.
So did he give you any hand signals or anything as y'all went by him?
Oh yeah, he gave us some real good hand signals, because earlier in the day, Joe's boat, the Hard Merchandise, had hooked up, and they fought it for probably 30 or 40 minutes before it spit the hook. So they almost had one. So when we had to drive by them, they were on anchor. We had to drive by them while we were fighting our fish. Well, we drive by them, and they're not really, like, waving to us or anything. They were happy but mad.
Yeah.
So after we landed the fish, Dave Marciano said, hey, let's go see Joe. So we brought all everything in, and he put it on plane, and we flew by the Hard Merch and waked them out, and they were like, we waked them. They were on anchor, and we waked them out, and we were like, ha, you know, we're like waving, and they were just like, you know, they were really upset.
But
yeah, he called his dad a Googan. He said, "That's what happens." He said, "That's what happens when you let a Googan get on your numbers."
That's great. So where you were, there was a movie filmed somewhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
The Crow's Nest.
Yeah, the Perfect Storm was actually filmed right there in Gloucester, and the infamous Crow's Nest, which is the first scene of the movie, actually, where they're sitting in the bar before the Andrea Gale goes out to sea to go. It was a sword fishing boat, and all of those people actually later lost their life because the boat unfortunately capsized. But one good fact about that I did not know is that Dave Marciano was supposed to be on that boat as crew, and something came up and he didn't go.
Wow.
So he's very sentimental to talking about that kind of stuff. But anyway, so I was like, well, we gotta go to the Crow's Nest, you know, we just talk with the locals, see what happens. Man, I'm telling you, that is awesome. So we sat in the Crow's Nest and we talked to all the locals, and we got the skinny on basically the Andrea Gale and the whole movie. I mean, it was just totally awesome. There's really no words for it. Before I knew it, they were buying us beers and drinks.
He made all sorts of friends.
It was awesome. Yeah, I didn't want to leave. I was like, we got to go fishing tomorrow. I'm like, well, I think we can, you know.
One more.
We got a few more hours, you know. I didn't want to leave. It was totally cool.
It sounds like you were in good company.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is it pretty touristy, the bar? Or is it?
No, actually, The best way that I can describe it, it is just straight up. You walk in there, it's dark. It's mm-hmm. just a hole-in-the-wall bar.
Down home.
Salty. All the fishermen. It's literally across the street from the docks. So all the captains on all them fishing vessels go into the crow's nest and drink beer and then go back to their boat, you know? So literally you get to talk. I talked to probably 5 or 6 different captains that ran either scalloping boats or tuna boats. It was
like a gold mine.
It was really cool. It really was cool.
Very nice.
So, Jeannie.
Yeah,
kind of fishing you've been doing, girl? Because I heard that you had a little bit of snap food,
I've been stomping my feet like a dang 4-year-old is what I've been doing. This weather that we've been having here has not been cooperating at all. And so I have, I'm not going to say I haven't launched my boat and put it right back on the trailer, 7 minutes later. But I do get out there. I get out there and dang it, I'm going fishing. I don't care. I'm going fishing. Then I round that point and I'm like, I ain't going fishing. And so I haven't been doing a whole lot because I just can't get around this dang weather.
Yeah.
It's been terrible here.
Yes. How do you keep up on the storms? Is there a special app that you trust?
Yeah, it's called My Radar. And I live and breathe by that and Wind Finder.
Okay.
Wind Finder I don't find to be extremely accurate, but it gives me somewhat of an idea. My Radar, like I said, that's the one that I live and breathe by. I'll be out on the water and have that app open or checking that app, and it's it's extremely accurate. So
nice. That's really important.
That's the one that either ruins my day or doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have the string that has the rock on it, and it says
sometimes,
if you can't see the rock, it's foggy.
It's right. Exactly. And sometimes that's a little bit better than old weatherman.
Yeah. Well, that's not guessing. That's straight up
that's,
windy, right?
You ain't lying about that. That is spot on right there. Have y'all been out lately?
I checked my phone today for the date on the last fish I caught, and it was June 5th.
That's a sin.
Yeah.
How dare you?
So I, too, was home on Sunday checking the weather every 15 minutes.
But wait a second. It seems to me you went snook fishing the other day.
I did. Got skunked.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It happens to the best of us.
It does.
But at least you got out there.
True.
True.
Sunday, I wish I had been out all day as well.
Bad day fishing.
It's better than a good day working.
Pretty much anywhere else.
Pretty much doing anything else. Yeah.
So this week I'm definitely going to get out fishing a couple days so that I don't know. I hope I didn't become unlucky. I've been told I have beginner's luck.
Yeah.
And I hope that's not the case.
No.
I think you're doing pretty dang good. Yeah. Pretty dang good.
I agree.
Now that last fish you caught, what was it?
That was the over 40-inch snook that I got.
So you made it to the 40-plus club.
I am in the 40 club.
That might be your karma there.
Yeah.
Way too
you
soon.
You set the bar way too high.
Way too
now
high.
It's like anything smaller than that just doesn't seem right.
Yeah. It's just no good anymore.
I quickly became like when I was catching like 27-inch snook, I'd be like, ugh, 27 inches.
Yeah.
And I throw it back in, like, oh, what is this? Yeah. Wasting my time.
Yeah. See, that's another thing up there, too. When we went striper fishing, it has to be 28 inches. There's no slot size, there's just a minimum size, and then you can catch them for as big as you can catch them. And we probably caught 30 stripers on those umbrella rigs, and 4 of them were just a half inch short of 28 inches. I was like, come on, man. 20, come on. It's almost there, you know? He's like, D, it's not going to stretch out any further than that.
Pitch the tail a
it's
little
It's literally a half inch short. But, yeah, so I can understand that.
That's aggravating.
D, it's been awesome hearing your stories. Thank you. Unfortunately, that's our time for today. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Fishy Radio. Goodbye from me, Alex, D, Jeannie, and Heather. Say goodbye, girls.
Bye-bye.
Bye, girls.
Bye, lines.